love you guys so much. Well, Grace and I are actually both going to share this morning, but I'm going to get us started. When we were asked to do this fellowship, we were talking about, you know, who should teach, how should we do this, and we realized that without knowing it, we had both sort of been studying about what you think and the power of your words. So God is at work, and so much goes on in a person's heart and mind. There's desires, fears, believing, truth, lies, emotions like satisfaction, joy, and just all over the spectrum happens in our mind and in our heart. And so many thoughts run through our mind in a day, but God is the only one that knows every corner of our heart. So as we can see from his word, what we think and meditate on absolutely affects our success or our failure, our joy or our disappointment. So if you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It was so cool studying this because I became so much more aware of what I was thinking when negative thoughts would come. I would just, it's amazing the kind of thoughts that come through our head, but how we have the ability to renew our mind. But Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks, so is he. The word, just our thoughts really define us, because everything that we do begins with a thought. Everything that we believe first begins with a thought. And the word says that David in the Old Testament was a man after God's own heart. And as any person is, he was challenged in his thinking in so many situations, but his desire was to think God's word. So turn to Psalm 19, verse 14, please. And this is David's desire for God. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." His desire that his heart would be was that his heart would be right before God. And he knew that God knew his heart, and he expressed his heart so openly to God. You can see where David just pours out his heart to God, just everything that's in his heart. And David goes through quite a slew of emotions. And we're going to look at a psalm where you can just see the process of how David was really attacked in the five senses, enemies chasing him for his life, and how he was able to focus on God's word and on what he knew in his heart, on those words that he had put in his heart, and have great victory. And we can do that too, and we do that. But Psalm 42, and we're just going to go ahead and read the whole psalm.
Okay.
"As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So you can see how he had these thoughts of doubt and fear, but he spoke to himself. He spoke God's word to himself. He could have gone down that negative path there. Sounds like a pretty not so fun situation. His soul was cast down within him. As a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, saying, where is thy God? He could have, you know, definitely gone down that path in his mind. And I know sometimes we have gone down that path in our minds, and we know that the end result of that is not good. It doesn't help to be negative and to complain and to confess fear, even if it's really intense emotion. But look, he talks to himself. He says, why art thou cast down, soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. We can tell ourselves that. And then we can praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And praising God is a great way to renew your mind. And David wasn't even renewing his mind. We, with the Spirit, can renew our mind. He was just changing his thinking to what God's word said. So, praising God. I have a little testimony that I wanted to share with you guys. And this actually happened to me 2 days ago. And I was driving home from yoga, and I stopped at this smoothie place called Blenders to get an acai bowl that was like has fruit and granola in it, and it's really, really, really good. And I've had it quite a few times. So I was just there enjoying my acai bowl, and I got in my car to leave, and it must have been something in the last maybe one or two bites, but I started having an allergic reaction. Like, my throat started swelling, my tongue started swelling, everything was itchy, I felt horrible. And it was sort of an intense moment because your mind, it's sort of a panicky feeling. And I've had a reaction like that, similar to that before, and I needed Benadryl, I needed this and that, and it just took me out for the day. And I won't go into all the details, but so I'm in my car having this allergic reaction, driving home, like, why is this happening to me? You know, I prayed for my food, and why am I having an allergic reaction? So I was like, well, I've been studying about the power of what you speak and the power of what you think. So I'm just going to start saying what God's word says while I drive home to get Benadryl. And so I just started speaking words of healing. Okay, Christ died for my sin, for my sickness. It's done. He did it. And I don't know what else I said, but I started to get sort of discouraged. Like, why is this happening? And then I had this thought in my heart, sing. So I started singing. I started singing that song I wrote, I Will Praise You, 7 verses. And I just started singing to God, and it took my mind off of what was going on. And I was more doing it to just distract my mind while I got home. But then halfway through the song, I started to actually feel kind of better. So I was like, wow, I'm going to keep singing. So I sang louder, and I was still planning on getting Benadryl. But then I said to God, this would be so cool if I did not even need Benadryl, because then I could tell this testimony. So I kept singing and praising God in my heart and thinking about all his goodness. You know, the words of that song are, you know, you've given me eternal life. You're the one that provides my needs. You're a lamp to my feet. And just praising him in everything because of what he's done for us in Christ. So by the time I got home, I did not need Benadryl. I needed Benadryl as much as I needed a flu shot. Like, not at all necessary. So praise God. And it just really is a huge demonstration of the power of just grabbing your mind, thinking God's word, choosing what you're going to think, and praising God. Because when you praise God, you start thinking about him and not you and what's going on in the situation. He's so much greater. He parted the Red Seas when Moses took that stand. He was there with David in these times of huge tribulation, and he saved him. He was there with Jesus Christ when he was tempted by the adversary, and Jesus Christ overcame the adversary by speaking God's word and renewing his mind. And he's there for you in every situation where you are challenged with doubts or fear or any kind of adversity. He does not leave your side. You and Christ are absolutely inseparable. So we've got to take an active stand with our hearts The evil one sets snares in this world, and most of them have to do with thoughts and words. From Adam and Eve, he has attacked God's word. He has tried to twist it because he knows it's so powerful when it's believed and spoken. It brings joy and peace and healing, and most of all, it brings praise to God, which he hates. And you can see that in our culture with the TV and the radio and the newspapers. There's so many lies, you guys. I mean, it's just designed to plant doubt in our minds because the adversary, he does have some influence in this world, and he doesn't have to have influence over us because Jesus Christ led him captive. He destroyed the works of the devil. So, and we have to remember that thoughts are like seeds in our hearts, and we need to decide which ones we're going to let take root, because you can't necessarily control all the thoughts that go into your mind and heart. You can sort some of them, you can monitor like what you watch, what you read, but for everything else, there's 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, which is, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The evil one is in an inferior position. We know his end. It is not good. We know our end. It's good. And we have authority over him. We get to lead his lives captive. He does not need to captivate us. And the way that verse is worded just really blesses me, because it just expresses his inferior position. So this is another cool verse. I'll just read it to you. Psalm 28:7. This is the result of having your heart's trust in God. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." That's our response to what happens when we trust God with our heart, when we think his word, and we see the deliverance. The response is praise and just so much rejoicing. Living in freedom and living for God requires renewing your mind, simply because we're in a world that lies, and it doesn't want you to realize and walk in your identity in Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That's the mystery. That was the grand hurrah after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead that just absolutely devastated the adversary. And you have his fullness. You have the fullness of Jesus Christ. So, Proverbs 16:1-3, if you guys would turn there, it's my last verse. And this is what we can do. And God will help us to renew our minds, to lead our thoughts captive, because it's his desire. And we're not in this alone. God works with us. We're in partnership with him. We have God and Christ in us, and we are never separate from them. So, "The preparations of the heart in a man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." God's going to help us do this. We are not doing this by ourselves. So, when I was doing this teaching, I just had some thoughts come to mind. I just started writing them down, and it came out in this sort of, I don't know, it's just kind of my commission to you guys. This is for you. And it's not haphazard. It's just, it came into my heart, and I want to share it with you guys. So, think beautiful thoughts. Think songs and sounds of praise. Let power pour from the fullness of Christ within you. You and Christ are inseparable. Let the thoughts of your heart be bold. Dare to pour out peace in the words that you speak. Perfect spirit, everlasting life. Breathe reality. God spoke and the universe became. Light sunrises over mountains, canyons, crashing waves, trees with leaves that whisper and praise the God that created them. There is freedom blooming on your lips. The liberality of perfect truth, breaking binds formed by time and subtle sabotage of the mind. But there is freedom flying from your tongue as you declare the things that your God has done. May the words that you speak bring peace. We are a family. The words that you speak might set me free. Your words may stand guard to protect your brother or sister's heart. Your words may plant seeds that grow health, love, and believing. So think beautiful thoughts. Think truth. Think of your awesome God. Think praise. I love you. Thank you.
Okay, so part two.
Oh, welcoming Grace. Sorry, Grace.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to be focusing on what we're speaking and the power that that holds, because for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, and words are extremely powerful. We need to realize that. And the words we speak need to be aligned with our heart. So what's in your heart? There can be a lot of things, good and bad, but the goal is to weed out the bad. So I'm going to read a little excerpt from What the Bible Tells Me So. It's a great book by Dr. Werewolf. I strongly recommend it. So this part really, really blessed me, and I'm confident that it will bless you too. Whatever a person believes is directly reflected in what he confesses. What a person confesses in his innermost being is what he brings in a manifestation in his life. If a person goes through life confessing that he has great need, he will definitely have great need. If he confesses sickness, he will continue to be sick and afflicted because of the law that what one believes in the depth of his soul absolutely appears in his life. The synchronized life is simply stated by this formula. Confession of belief yields receipt of confession. If you will confess with your mouth at the same time that you confess in your heart what the word says, you will have power. Your prayers will be answered as you apply these keys in your life by your action. Thus, the abundant resources of heaven are made available to you. But likewise, if you continuously confess with your mouth and heart the negatives of this world, you will manifest these crippling negatives. So I hope that blessed you. And this is something that we should really take time to think about. How is what you're speaking affect what you're believing? They go hand in hand. And God created man, God formed man, and God designed man. God designed man's heart to hold his word, and he designed man's mouth to speak his word. So let's do it. What should we be speaking if God designed us to speak his word? There could be a number of things we could be speaking. The latest drama of Michael Jackson, the newest hair products from Chi, how terrible your job is, or how fantastic God is. So I want to turn to Psalms 118. And we're going to look at what we should be speaking. In verse 171 and 172, Psalm 118, 171, and 172. Yes. I'm sorry, 119, 119. Yeah. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. We are to utter praise and speak his word. That's what's going to bring light into situations and affect people. That's what God has told us to speak, and those words will bring power. So then, next, I would like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We get to speak the wisdom of God and can share with people the mystery of the body of Christ that has been hidden from so many ages. Not that many people know about that. Think about how much we have to give. Sometimes I take that for granted, how much I know and how much, not in a vain way, but how much I have to give and share with people, even some Christians that unfortunately don't know about this great body of Christ that we're a part of. And think how much that can bless them, those words that you speak, and how that can get their vision up. Mark 16, you don't have to turn there. Verse 17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues." We can speak in the name of Jesus Christ and cast out devil spirits. That is power. We speak that and it comes to pass. We can also speak in tongues, which edifies ourselves and makes intercession for others. What we heard earlier, that is fantastic. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit and those benefits. Speaking in tongues is fabulous. Titus 2, please turn there. Verse 15 says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." We are told to exhort and to rebuke with all authority. God wouldn't tell us to do it if we couldn't. If we didn't have that power, he wouldn't tell us to do that. So, hello. Exhort means to give strength, encouragement, or to advise. But of course, with love, because love is our motivating factor here. Because we're dealing with hearts. You can't just toss around your words lightly. We really can't. And that's one thing that the adversary tries to get us to think, that our words aren't really powerful, that they're just empty words floating in space, and that sometimes people don't hear them. No, it affects people, good and bad. And our feelings can't dictate what we speak. When we're in situations that are provoking fear, being upset, anxiousness, or feeling discouraged, turn to the scriptures that will build your believing and calm your heart. When you have the word hidden in your heart, it's easier to call on those scriptures and have them readily available. And Romans 10:17 says, "So then by faith," or believing, "comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our believing becomes stronger by reading the word and talking about the word in conversation. It doesn't even matter if it's just one sentence, one word to encourage that other person. We have to train our natural minds to do the word of God, because there's negatives all around us. How many times a day do you hear people, even believers, Christians, say, "I just can't get my back healed. I've tried and tried and tried. I don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe. I don't know. I'll never have enough money for this house I really want. I'm never going to lose this weight. It's just stuck. I can't get it off." The negatives are everywhere. Think about how that affects your believing. Is it building confidence in who you are in Christ, or is it provoking fear and doubt? I don't know. Every time you make it a negative confession, you're contradicting the word of God. Negative words will never help a situation, despite how you feel. God is not negative, and his word is encouraging and provides light in every and any situation. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Another verse, if you guys would turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." If there's bitterness and anger in your heart, what do you think you're speaking? And how is that affecting your believing? Is that going to bring the desired results in the situation you're faced with? Is that going to help? Those negative words. Also, when you speak, whether it's good or bad, the other person hears you, of course, but you also hear yourself, which is reinforcing that which you're speaking in your mind. That which you're speaking is being rooted in your heart. We also have the ability to control our minds when we hear ideas that are contrary to the word of God, because, like I said earlier, they're everywhere. We don't have to believe them, because greater is he that's in you than that who's in the world. And in contrast, you don't have to turn there. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The word says to think on these things. If we're thinking and meditating on these things instead of what we looked at before, what will that manifest? Power? I think so. Something to think about, guys. So, a little summary for you. We need to control our tongue. We need to speak the word to one another, words of life that are going to build each other up and build their believing, encouraging that person that God is bigger than the situation they're faced with and that God can do the impossible. These are words that will provide hope. This is how we can achieve great results in situations that look impossible. When one has a victory in a situation, we all rejoice because we're a family and we're in it together. So thank you. I love you. Yeah.